from the Louisiana Association of Educators.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
Hey, this is Toby Mack with news of another real-life Jesus freak. It's 301 AD, Armenia. 14 years in prison has left Gregory pale and gaunt, but more committed to Christ than ever. The king has grown bitter and mad because even though he has had many Christians tortured and killed, the gospel continues to spread. Despite all warnings, Gregory insists on a private audience with the king. After a scuffle and a long silence, the two men emerge from the king's chambers as friends. Armenia becomes the first country to legalize Christianity. The king's family is baptized, and the bold prisoner earns the name Gregory the Illuminator.
For more on the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Man, what great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you. By our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Let us look together at Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17. And we're going to read verse 11 through verse number 19. Amen. All right. If you have Luke chapter 17, looking at verse number 11, we want to you to say with us, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Here we go. Luke chapter 17, verse number 11 says, and it came to pass as they went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. 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 May God a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to use for a title or a tag, a thought to this message this morning. When God's goodness makes you turn back. Amen. When God's goodness makes you turn back. Amen. This is, as I said, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, which approached in my book pretty fast. Yeah. Amen. I did not realize it until the other day that this week would be Thanksgiving week. Amen. Not that we, you know, I know you got all those people that we call them, you know, they humbug, Ichabod Crane people, that every time you want to celebrate something, they always got something to say. You know, and I ain't got to have nobody to tell me when to be thankful. We ain't telling you when to be thankful. We just have a significant time that we can be thankful together. Amen. And so, you know, when they get to talking all of that, and I don't celebrate all of this, well, what do you celebrate? Amen. But I'm going to celebrate. I don't care what you say. Amen. You're not going to stop my shine and rain on my parade and get me all down because you don't want to be up. You can't bring me where you are because I'm too far high, too far gone. I'm too high to come that low, too happy to be that sad, too fast to be that slow. Amen. Just tell them all of that stuff. Tell them I said it. Amen. But this morning we want to remember, you know, Thanksgiving, and I do understand as history records, they say the first Thanksgiving and how it went, and then we understand it didn't actually go down sometime like the way they said it did. But we thank God anyway that we're here, and we thank God for what he's done for us. Now, in the text today that's been chosen, very familiar text. Everybody understands pretty much this text, and it's been preached over the years. But when we look at these lepers, I want you to think about, you know, yourself and think about your situation and your life, and then be thankful to God after you've seen all the things that God has done. But when we look at this text, Luke is a gospel writer. Luke is one of the synoptic gospels. It's basically saying that everything that Matthew and Mark said, it went along with what Luke said. Luke gives us his writing because he wanted the people who really were not born in the area or didn't know, amen, to he wanted them to know who Jesus was. Amen. And so in that process, he wrote this letter, or we call it the gospel according to Luke. And when he wrote it, based off of, not just what he saw or what he was told, but he also looked and examined the people around so that he can make sure he got these stories and put in here. And if you look at Luke, he has some of the greatest miracles that you could find. It's going to all be found in the gospel according to Luke. Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man. He presents him as the Son of Man for the reason that we might understand that Jesus came in this flesh and lived as a man. All right. And as he lived as a man, he died as a man, but he rose as our Savior. Amen. That is the purpose he wrote it like that. So when we look at this, we find that they had a few things that at the beginning of Luke chapter 17, he teaches us to avoid. And he talks to the apostles, and they ask for him to increase their faith. And Jesus told them that, you know, the faith of the grain of a mustard seed would be able to move mountains. You know, that all you need is a little bit of faith. But he also talked to them about their stewardship. And so what Jesus was saying is that you don't need to increase your faith. You need to increase your works or your dedication to God. Amen. But when we begin to increase our dedication to God, then that in turn causes us to have more confidence in him, which builds our faith. Because we have a better relationship with him. So you don't really need more faith. You just need more dedication. You need to be more better at being a steward of the things that God has already given you. Amen. So when Jesus tells us that we need to be a better steward, he's trying to let us know if you want to get more things, then you need to treat the things you got right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. If you want God to keep blessing you, you need to be able to take care of the things that God has already given you. Amen. Amen. But we neglect a whole lot of stuff. And you know what we do most when God blesses us? We forget God. We forget to turn back. We forget to tell him thank you. Amen. We begin to curse the very thing that we prayed about that God gave to us. Amen. All right. So now here it is now in verse 11. It says, as it came to pass, he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now, Luke pointed out their condition because Luke was a doctor. And notice that he talked a lot about people's condition, because he talked about the woman with the issue of blood. He talked about her condition, how she spent all she had. He talked about Jairus' daughter. He talked about how the boy who had been dead, and then Jesus walked by and wrote, he raised him up, Lazarus, who had been dead. Luke did a lot of examining. And so he mentions that these men were what? Lepers. And in other words, their condition that they had, they were, it was deeper than the skin. It was not a surface situation. It wasn't a simple situation, but it was a deep situation that caused them a lot of grief, caused them a lot of problems, because in Leviticus chapter 13, you'll find out that they had to stand about 50 feet or basically about 100 paces away from anybody, and they had to scream at them and say, unclean, unclean. And they had to do that to let people know that they had a bad situation going on and you don't want to get close to this. Amen. What if we had to tell people about our situation that's under the skin? The stuff, oh, I wish I had somebody. If we had to do that, we couldn't, we wouldn't do it. We'd just run away. We'd leave. And so these men, they had to stand, and they had to tell people that they were unclean, and they couldn't even listen to what happened to them. They couldn't even be a part of their families anymore. They couldn't be a part of the social life anymore. They couldn't even go to church anymore. Uh-huh. They couldn't go to, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't go to work anymore. All they could do was beg. And maybe there was somebody nice enough to throw them a piece of bread, and then they had to scrap over it. This changed their life. They had a condition that put them in dire straits. It put them in a bad position. This thing defiled them. It destroyed their bodies, because leprosy started on the inside. And by the time you realized you had it, you started to lose limbs and fingers and ears, and your nose could fall off. Bad situation. But they didn't know until they started, this thing started to happen. Their bodies, look, they were destined to be burned. Their bodies could not be buried. They had to be burned. Isn't that something? Now we look at that in the flesh and we think that's bad. But think about this. In the spirit, we have sometimes a spiritual leprosy that causes us to go to the fire. Y'all don't hear me? We have to learn how to call on the Savior. I'm going to get there. So they had to be isolated due to the leprosy, because Jews thought that leprosy was caused by sin or by transgression or by going too far, doing things out of line. You get what I'm saying here? And so when we look at that, the Bible said that there were what? 10 of them, right? There were 10 of them. And the number 10 is the completion of an order, or completion or order of a finished cycle. The number 10, it represents that. So a completion of order or a finished cycle. You know, Noah was the 10th. He was the 10th from his generation. Adam was from Adam, I'm sorry. And Noah was the 10th from Adam. We had 10 commandments, 10 clauses in the Lord's Prayer, the tithe, the 10th. Amen. 10 plagues of Egypt, 10 trials of Abraham. 10 times you'll find that fire came down from heaven. So the number 10 is the number of order. God wants things in order. And so this is what God is showing us through this, is that there's some things in our life that have to be in order. And one of them is being grateful and being thankful unto God.
Amen.
Amen. And so when we see this, we see his, their condition caused them a lot of grief. Their condition caused them a problem, but they didn't let their condition keep them from crying out to God.
Amen.
The problem a lot of times for us is that we have a condition and it holds us back from crying out to God, because we start losing our confidence and our faith in God, that God, we start thinking God doesn't care.
we start thinking that God doesn't pay us any mind or any attention, and so it don't do no good for us to pray. I don't feel like I need to pray. I just want to quit. But you notice these lepers, the Bible says, as they went by, that they lifted up their voice when Jesus passed by. Let's look at verse 13. He said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, it would appear that Jesus was on his way. He did not approach them. He did not have a conversation with them. He didn't give them the attention that we would think that we would need if we were in a crisis. Their condition was bad. They were doomed, and their destiny was to be burned with the fire. They were going to die someday, any day then, you know. And so when Jesus passed by, they were crying for him to help them right then. And it would seem that he wouldn't even go over. Look at that. He didn't even go over and talk to them. But see, now in our life, we have a condition sometimes. And it would seem that God would pass us by. It seemed like God doing stuff for everybody else. But Lord, what about me? I heard how you already healed over there. I heard that you healed the woman that had the issue of blood. I heard how you healed Jairus' daughter. I know that you can do it, but Lord, you passing by me and you won't stop by my house. This is how these men were. He passing by, but you know what? I like their confidence and their faith in God, because although he was passing by, he didn't have to stop and have a conversation. He didn't have to stay with them. He didn't have to deal with them. And you know one thing about us? Today, God has to deal with us over and over and over. These men only needed one time for to hear God say, do something. Yeah. And he did it. Yeah. But we need God to keep doing. We need God, come on and say amen. We need God to keep blessing. We need God to keep healing. We need God to keep touching. We need God to keep hearing what we got to talk about, or else we have no confidence. How is it that we lack faith when God has brought us to where we are, and we get to a hard spot and we decide that we just want to give up? Mm. He says, they lifted up their voice. Right? They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Notice what they said. They didn't say, have mercy on me. Because a lot of us don't think about nobody else but us. You don't see where it says that they said, have mercy on me. One of them, shut up, let me call him. Be quiet, you too loud, let me get my voice heard. And that's our problem. We want to be heard all the time. We want to be seen. We want them to notice us. But if we can agree, there's a power in agreement. Y'all still with me here? Am I boring you? I just want you to get it. There's power in agreement. There's power if we can agree. Now, the one thing I like of how Luke wrote this is that he said they cried they tried to lift up their voice. And by the way, whenever you have leprosy, it attacks your vocal cords, so you sound hoarse. So you have to have help to lift your voice. So they knew that he can't hear me if one of us cry out. Yeah. So we all got to be a chorus together. Yeah. We all got to get in unison. We all have to say it together in order for him to hear it, so that our voices will carry to him. And so they cried out in agreement. They prayed, Lord, they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They showed their desire and their desperation. And sometimes when you get desperate, you don't care who you're with. You just want to know if they can get a prayer through.
Amen.
And look, now some of these were Jewish lepers. And this one man, you'll see, he was a Samaritan. Now, they had no dealings with each other. But ain't it something how your condition can cause you to be in dealings with people that you wouldn't normally deal with?
Yeah.
Isn't that something? And so here, this man and his nine friends, they all lifted up their voices and they cried out and they said, Master, have mercy on us. What they were saying here is the word in the Greek is the word ispatata, which means chief commander, overseer, or basically the one who has power to meet my need. You know, in most places where you read the word master in the New Testament, it's the word rabbi, which means instruction or instructor or teacher. But they didn't need instruction. They needed healing.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. They didn't need instruction. They needed healing. And a lot of times we try to instruct sick people. But we need to get them healed first.
Amen.
What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about their souls are sick. And if we don't get their soul healed first, we can instruct them, but they won't change.
Amen.
Have mercy. Amen. So they cried and said, have mercy on us. They said, Master, the one who has the power to meet my need, I know you can do it.
Yeah.
I know you can, but will you do it today for us? He said, have mercy on us. And look, the thing about it is that they called for mercy. When they called for mercy, they were saying, look, we know we probably deserve what we got. Because remember I told you, they said that it was the Jews believed that sin caused them to have leprosy. They were saying, I know we probably deserve what we got, but give us what we don't deserve. Give us some mercy here. Don't let us die like we are. Change our situation. Heal our bodies. Restore us. When that one healing did so much. And see, we got to understand something. If we cry out to God, God heals us. The one thing that he does for us does so much more than the one thing. The one healing that they received, the Bible doesn't say it and spell it out, but the one healing put them back in society. The one healing put them back in connection with their family. The one healing put them back in the community to be able to work and to provide for themselves, changed them from being beggars to being able to do the work that they could do to be able to make a living for themselves. They could return to their families. They could see their kids again. They could go back to church. They can. I wish I had somebody here. One healing, the one thing God can do for you can change your entire life if you let it. If you allow God to do one thing in your life, it can restore you. See, the thing about God is that when he restores you, he don't just give you a little something, but he replaces things in your life. Amen, that you didn't have before. Amen. Now we heard their cry. They said, Jesus, have master, have mercy on us. In verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. He spoke to them from the distance. He didn't go over and lay a hand on them. Now, we would have said, well, Jesus didn't lay a hand on them because everybody else had to be touched. Huh? We would say that the woman with the issue of blood, she just got touched. We would say the man that was in his casket in Jesus' name, he touched him and he rose up. We would say that these people had to be touched. Huh? Jairus' daughter, whoever, or Peter's mother with the fever, he touched her. Right? We would say that these people had to be touched. But no, Jesus said, now the healing is on you. It's on you. Now I'm here. You've seen me and you know I exist. You know I'm real. But what are you going to do? Are you going to obey my instruction? Now, that's the key. Are we going to obey what he said? Are we going to do what the master said? Or is it too simple for us? See, that's the problem. We think that what God has said is way too simple. It got to be more to this. And he's saying, no, it ain't no more to it. This is as simple as it gets. I made it easy for you to get your healing. Come on and say amen. Amen. Look at what he said. Now, he told them, they cried out because they knew that he could do it. In other words, they had confidence in him. Look at their confidence. They knew that he was able to do it. They said, Jesus, the one who's able to meet my need, he says to them, they said to him, would you have mercy on us? And when they did that, he looked at them and he said, now go show yourself to the priest. Now, he didn't lay a hand on him. He didn't abracadabra, hocus pocus. He didn't take his coat off and hit him like Benny Hinn. He ain't do none of that stuff. He ain't dash no oil on him. Huh? He didn't dash oil. He didn't do none of that stuff. But what happened was when he said this, these men begin to go. And look what it says. And I'm going to get there. I know y'all ready to get out already. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The cleansing came when they start walking. The healing began to take place as they begin to move.
Yes.
Y'all still with me here?
Yes.
And as they begin to move, the healing took place. Let me try another mic. Maybe that's the problem here. Amen. That sounds better. Amen. So when they begin to move, the healing took place. And as they began to walk, there was this one. Let me, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's read it. And one of them saw that he was healed. Yes. And turned back with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Look at this. Yes. They didn't ask for a sign. They didn't say, Lord, do this, and then I believe it happened. Yes. They didn't need God to do something different. They were confident in his word. Yes. They were confident at the fact that he took time out to speak to them. I wish I had somebody. Yes. When you realize that God is speaking to you and you take time, that he's taking time out to say something specifically to you, I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's through your child that God speaks to them. I don't care if it's through a coworker or even during this message, God might say one thing that catches your attention and becomes something that he said to you. Just know that if God said it, you can bank on it. And that everything will be all right. He said, look, they didn't ask for anything. They were satisfied with the fact that he spoke to them and he recognized them. And after that, you know, after everybody had ignored them, after everybody, you know, people walked by and here they were. They were lepers and nobody paid no attention to them. They were glad that they were out of the way. But Jesus walked by and he spoke back to them when nobody else would speak to them. Do you know that when people write you off and don't nobody want to deal with you, that God will still deal with you? Oh, come on and say amen here. When everybody else was ignoring them, then God said, I'm not going to ignore you. I'm going to speak to you, and I need you to obey when I speak. Come on and say amen. The problem is we're too slow to obey. We start to wonder if it was God that spoke to us in the first place, and we need to know that God speaks to us, and when he does speak, he's not going to be just speaking to you just for nothing. But when God sends his word, he sends his word to deliver us. He sends his word to heal us. He sends his word to set us free. Come on and say amen. But the Bible says as they went, as they begin to obey the word of God, as they begin to take off and do what God said, they were able to begin to see a change or feel a change on the inside. Do I have a witness here? And the Bible says, look at this. He says, and that as they went, they were cleansed in verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, look at this here. The man saw that he was healed. Now, I don't know what he saw in himself that made him decide that I'm healed, but when he realized that as they went on the way, he realized that something changed on the inside. And because the disease started on the inside, come on and say amen, because the disease started down on the inside, I believe he felt something on the inside. And that's why you got to learn how to feel something, amen. You got to learn how to feel what God is doing in your life. You need to learn how to be spiritual enough to know that God is doing something. Come on and say amen. And the Bible said that when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. Do I have a witness here? What happened here? The Bible says that this, basically, he was confident in what God had done, how God had cleansed him, and he became conscious that there was a change that happened in his life. We have to be conscious of the change that God is doing in our life. Come on and say amen here. We need to know that something is happening whether we see it physically or not. We need to know that God is ever changing things all around us. And the Bible says here, he said that when he saw that he had been healed, he turned with a loud voice. And that was the question and the message this morning. When God's goodness make you turn back, is there something that God has done in your life that will make you turn back to him? Is there something that God has done in your life that makes you want to turn around and say thank you? Is there something that God has done in your life to make you decide that I ain't got time to go with the cross? I can be all by myself and give God the praise that he deserves. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Is there anyone in here that decide that no matter what the enemy has done, no matter what I've had in my past, no matter how I felt, no matter what I lost, I'm still going to turn around and tell the Lord,
thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord, because of what you've done and how good you've been to me. Come on and say amen. Is there anything in your life that you can decide that I don't care how bad things had gotten, but I know that things are so much better now. I don't care how bad things look. I may not have back what I lost, but I know I'm healed. I know I'm delivered. I know I'm set free. And I just want to tell the Lord, thank you.